Hello again, everybody, to Wisconsin Badgers Podcast. After a couple weeks hiatus, as our hero Jeff Patricus was getting a little healthy, we are back. I'm going to be chatting here with Ben Steele, who covered the Badger game in Ann Arbor against the Michigan Wolverines this weekend. Jeff will be back again next week. He was sort of on the mend watching the game. I know he added some content to jsonline.com this weekend along with Ben, but we will have the normal routine of the podcast next week. Unfortunately, this was a rough one for the Badgers. They lost 38-13 to the Wolverines, who, by the way, are now the number 6 team in the country after the new round of rankings were released on Monday. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Wisconsin Badgers Journal Sentinel podcast. As I mentioned, Ben Steele will be joining us soon. This was not entirely for the faint of heart. This is, we saw this team against Nebraska struggle to sort of keep that offense in check. The Badgers still won that game fairly handily because their offense was clicking, but against an elite defense, which is what Michigan offers, this just wasn't, it just was not meant to be. The Badgers, one of the most telling stats, 2 of 11 on third down efficiency in this game. That's just really rough. Michigan outgained them 444 yards to 283. A lot of that was on the ground. They rushed for 320 yards, just gouged the Badgers. We're really actually, as far as yards per rush go, with Michigan at 6.7, Badgers actually pretty good there, 6.3, but the overall number of attempts, the overall number of yards, just too much to overcome. The Badgers with two costly interceptions. That was the other big thing. Alex Hornibrook threw one that resulted in a pick six, kind of a strained throw under duress that he probably shouldn't have thrown that turned into a touchdown the other way, the other into traffic, not a great throw, but deflected off the hands of a receiver to make things much, much worse. That resulted in a turnover for the Wolverines. They themselves did not hand the ball over. Michigan's quarterback, Shea Patterson, is considered a pretty dynamic threat, and he showed it. He was 14 of 21 passing for 124 yards, but really made some noise with his feet. 9 carries, 90 yards for a touchdown. Karen Higdon had 19 carries, 105 yards and a score. Dylan McCaffrey checked in late for an uplifting 44-yard touchdown run. Uplifting if you're a Michigan fan, not so much if you're the Badgers. Jonathan Taylor for Wisconsin continued his streak of 100-yard rushing performances, 17 carries for 101 yards. Not terrible by any means, but with the Badgers going down in the second half, wasn't the primary focus, although, you know, he got as many touches, obviously, as anybody. Alex Hornibrook struggled. 7 of 20 passing for 100 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Not one of his better games. That is a rough showing for Alex Hornibrook. Again, a lightning rod a lot of times in Wisconsin Badgers fan circles, and I tend to defend the guy, and I still think he's a pretty great quarterback for college football quarterback. I think he's fine, but this was a rough game for him. Danny Davis had one rushing play for 37 yards. Kendrick Pryor had that jet sweep run that went for a touchdown. He finished with 2 carries for 35 yards. He also caught 2 passes for 30 yards. Jake Ferguson, the only other receiver with 2 passes caught, that for another 46 yards. Badgers did fumble the ball but recovered it. That was Hornibrook. Eric Burrell leading the team with 11 tackles, 6 solo. TJ Edwards another 10. He also had a sack in the game. Ryan Connolly had a great game. He had a sack, a tackle for loss, 8 tackles, and a quarterback pressure. He had a very good game. Eric Burrell, part of that patchwork secondary, one of the biggest storylines of this game. Not enough bodies in the secondary. I mean, they've been down so many guys. Dakota Dixon couldn't end up playing. Veteran safety. The other starting safety, Scott Nelson, was suspended for the first half of the game after a targeting penalty last week and then left early with his own injury. I mean, Caesar Williams, Darren Harrell, Van Hicks, the list goes on and on of guys who have been hurt in that secondary. So the Badgers have been doing what they can to keep things together. But as you saw, just a tough showing. They did what they could, and maybe the learning experience will help them down the line. A lot of freshmen and sophomores in that mix. So we're going to bring in Ben Steele. He saw this game in Ann Arbor at Michigan and get his thoughts. We'll bring him in now. My guest is Ben Steele. He was on the beat covering the Wisconsin Badgers in Ann Arbor, Michigan, against the Michigan Wolverines. It was not pretty. Ben Steele is 0-1 as Wisconsin Badgers beat writer. Ben, is it your fault? Come on, be honest.
I'd actually like to break some news on this podcast. I'd like to officially retire as a college football writer with an 0-1 record. I will fade off into the sunset after that performance.
Yeah, that's not a good career ledger to go with, but let's chat a little bit about why it's been a few weeks since we've done this podcast. I was at the Nebraska game a couple weeks ago. Our hero, the star of this podcast, Jeff Patricus, came to the game, was not feeling well, had to leave, I ended up covering the Nebraska game. You were brought in to do the whole week-long coverage thing and then go to the game in Michigan. Fortunately, though, my understanding is that our hero, Jeff Patricus, will be back next week, so we should be good to go from here on out, right? Well, obviously, if you're retiring, we're good to go.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I think it sounds like he's all good. I'm sure he'll be back into his full curmudgeonly mode, back on the beach with no worse for the wear, I hope.
Yes, the J-Po brand. So we are very happy to know that he is feeling better, doing better, and will be there next week when the Badgers play Illinois. But Ben, it was you who went to see Michigan. It was an ugly performance, 38-14 loss for Wisconsin. I'm curious just the mood afterward, because we kind of already knew that this team wasn't playing the way that a college playoff, a football playoff team was playing. The loss to BYU was very, very damaging to those hopes. This loss pretty much cancels them all together. Yeah. I'm sure they were saying the right things, but how did it feel with the players and coaches afterwards?
Yeah, the mood was pretty resigned. You know, a lot of the questions were about, you know, all the hopes coming into this season. You know, a lot of pundits picking them for the college football playoffs. The loss to BYU dented that, and then this loss to Michigan just obliterated any chance that they have. So, you know, a lot of the questions were about that, and all the players, you know, were saying the right things, that, you know, we've got more games to play, the season's not over, we can still win the Big Ten West, we're still playing for that. But it was definitely a resigned, somber kind of tone to all those kind of answers.
Yeah, and this team could still make some noise. They could still get to the Big Ten championship game and even win the Big Ten, but it seems like there's so many repairs that have to take place. I mean, there's no position group that you can safely say really has lived up to billing yet. I know you haven't seen them. You haven't seen them, you know, up close and personal all season, but you did see them this week. What is the stumbling block here? Like, what is really standing in their way? It kind of feels like just a malaise across the board, but what really sticks out to you?
Yeah, they just weren't very sharp offensively. And, you know, the defense had its problems. They just kind of got worn down. There were lots of new guys in there. It was maybe to be expected a little bit, but just, yeah, offensively, just no crispness. The third downs were brutal. A good podcast guest would have those numbers off the top of my head, but I don't remember what they were on third down. But suffice to say, it wasn't good. And, yeah, it's just they didn't have any rhythm. It was, you know, one big drop by A.J. Taylor on third down in the second quarter, I believe. And Hornibrook missed, you know, tons of throws out there, and he was getting pressured. It just, yeah, there was just no, this couldn't get anything going. It couldn't get any kind of momentum whatsoever.
We'll talk about Hornibrook in a second. One of the biggest storylines coming into this game is the secondary. Incredibly banged up. They didn't have Scott Nelson for the first half. He had been suspended from a targeting penalty the week before, and then he ends up leaving early in the third quarter anyway with an injury. Yeah. They were down Dakota Dixon. You know, Caesar Williams is banged up. Fan Hicks is banged up. I mean, they are just so low. We saw so many freshmen. I mean, Rashad Wildgoose and Reggie Pearson was out there. Were they a problem? Because I guess by the end of the game, I was thinking maybe they were actually kind of a bright spot in that they played okay given their youth.
Yeah, they held up pretty well. And I mean, it was, you know, the game was 13-7 in the third quarter. I mean, it was a blowout at that point, and they were still in it. But there was that one third down, third and five penalty that on Wild Goose where he got a little handsy with the receiver, and that kind of kept that drive going. And that was the same drive as the infamous roughing the long snapper, I guess. I don't even know the technical term, roughing the snapper, but that was like the one play that the penalty on Wild Goose was one of the youthful mistakes that you saw out there. That was the big one. But then I think all in all they held up pretty well. There was a couple of blown coverages here and there, but nothing crazy. I don't remember.
What was the reaction to that roughing the long snapper penalty? Because I can't even tell who it was assigned to. It was just sort of on the defense in general.
No, they didn't say who it was, and I caught a brief glimpse of the replay, and it didn't. Nothing stood out to me on that quick look. So I'm as baffled as everybody else on that one. I have no idea what happened on that.
Did Paul Chryst acknowledge that play at all after the game, or any of the players talk about it?
Just in general, I talked to a couple guys, and some guys said they didn't see it. Some guys are just like, "Well, that's what the ref called, and we got to live with it. We got to move on." And Paul Chryst said that, you know, the same sort of generalities. You know, we just got to move on. We got to play the next play. That sort of thing.
So I did mention we would talk again about Alex Hornibrook. He is the most polarizing figure in Wisconsin sports as it stands. Pretty much the quarterback position is going to be that for Wisconsin fans, yeah, and maybe a lot of fan bases. I tend to defend him. I feel like he's a guy, yeah, that gets an undue amount of criticism, but he did struggle again. And the Michigan's got a great defense. They're number six, yeah, in the country now. What did you make of Hornibrook's performance? Do you think, I mean, there was some thought maybe even Jack Cohn could get into this game. Like, was there, where do you stand? Where do you see Alex Hornibrook right now?
Yeah, he should, Hornibrook should probably stay off Twitter for the next, he should probably stay off Twitter for,
he should probably never go to Twitter
future,
again.
Yeah, it's probably good life advice for him. Yeah, I was surprised that actually that Cohn wasn't thrown in the fourth quarter. I was kind of expecting to see him trot out on the field, but there was a big drop by Taylor on the third down play that I mentioned earlier. But all the other incompletions the blame could fall squarely on Hornibrook. I mean, he just got happy feet a little bit. There was a little bit of pressure, but he just floated a couple plays. He just wasn't very crisp.
Yeah, pick six was a tough one. That was brutal.
Yeah, and I don't know how Paul Chryst goes about fixing that situation.
Yeah, I don't know either. Lots of fans are very excited for the arrival of Graham Mertz next year, who's a highly regarded freshman. I hope fans are not setting themselves up to expect that a true freshman is going to be piloting this team next year. That is not a slam dunk by any means. So, I do tend to err on the side of defending Alex Hornibrook. I think he's had some phenomenal games. He's going to have more phenomenal games. This just wasn't one of them against that pass defense. What was your take on Michigan's D? I mean, they have a lot of, you know, top guys that people have heard of nationally.
Yeah.
They certainly seem to show it. Did it feel like they were just overwhelming more than Wisconsin was struggling, or the other way around?
No, I think the Michigan defense is the real deal. I mean, they came in top five in most metrics, and they were fast, man. They got a lot of fast guys out there. They were even playing without, you know, their best defensive linemen, and still were able to control the line of scrimmage. Yeah, they were just flying around out there. They definitely looked on a different level athletically than the Badgers, it seemed.
So the Michigan with a pretty great quarterback in Shea Patterson, who obviously showed what he could do, had a long run in the game. The Badgers have had trouble stopping elite quarterbacks. We saw it with Adrian Martinez of Nebraska last week or the week earlier. We've seen it even in brief flashes against New Mexico's quarterback. BYU's Tanner Mangum had a really good day, sort of orchestrating the offense. Is this defense just not capable of slowing down a really good quarterback, do you think? Or are they close to zoning in on something like that?
Yeah, it was, we talked about the young guys in the secondary. They weren't the guys making the mistakes out there. The guys, like, the linebackers that you expect from UW to be making plays for them. Van Ginkle, I remember, getting caught on a read option, let Patterson get around him. And same thing with Zach Vaughn on the big 80-yard run that Michigan had in the first quarter by Patterson. You expect a little more from your veteran linebackers in those situations. So I think that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, Van Ginkle still coming back from an injury. How did he look? I know he got burned there and got caught inside, but how did he look overall? Is he pretty much back to full strength, do you think?
I think he played a lot more snaps than he did. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he played more than he did the previous week. He had a few pressures that I remember. I think he looked a lot better.
All right. Yes, the Badgers could definitely use him back. Their secondary is so banged up. They really just need to get healthy at this point. They are entering a part of their schedule, well, at least next week with Illinois. They should be able to win that game, you would think, although I guess nothing is off the table right now. What comes next for this team? I mean, do you think every game is going to be a slog for them? Do you think they still have a complete performance in them, or is this just totally not the team we thought we were going to see?
Yeah, we'll see against Illinois. This is a classic get-well game, you know, that hope everything can just start putting the pieces back together and just... Yeah, we'll see this weekend. I'll have a better idea how they come out.
All right, Ben Steele, you will find him at jsonline.com covering the Badgers this week, but going forward, he'll be the Marquette Golden Eagles beat writer once again. You can find all of his coverage of the Golden Eagles. That season is right around the corner. We are just about there, Ben. I bet you're looking forward to the hard court.
Yes, retired football writer Ben Steele. moving on to more comfortable realms for me.
That's true. Indoors and all that with heating. Yeah. Fully heated venues. Jeff Patricus will return next week, so we will hear from him then. Thanks a lot for filling in, Ben. We will chat with you soon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That's all we got for today. Thanks to Ben Steele for filling in. Jeff Patricus, as we mentioned multiple times, will be back next week. Hopefully we'll have happier news when we discuss the game against Illinois back at Camp Randall Stadium. That's Saturday kickoff, 11 a.m., bright and early for the homecoming battle. And the Badgers will be looking to get back off the schneid a little bit. It has been a struggle this year. It's just nothing has come easily for the Badgers. Now with a couple losses on the docket, as we mentioned, their college football playoff hopes are dashed. They are out of that mix at this point, but they can still sneak their way into that Big Ten championship game, and it obviously starts with a game against Illinois. My name again is J.R. Radcliffe. Find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and give us a review or rating. If you find us in Apple Podcasts, let us know what you think. You can also find me at J.R. Radcliffe on Twitter. That's at J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. Appreciate you tuning in. We will chat with you again next week. Take care.